Thank you very much, Bob and Tom. Good morning. Someone has said you always know it's going to be a good day when you wake up and nothing new hurts. So we trust that's the case. You'll be pleased to know that the Bible has returned. Believe it or not, it was one of the fellow snowbirds who lives not far from us who had it. But we're glad to get it back. If you haven't purchased one of Bill McDonald's books as yet, I understand before I came to the platform there were three left. I just commend that book to you. It's an excellent commentary and one I know you will enjoy. Have you ever been in a violent storm? Could have been one of rain. You found you had to pull off the road. Could have been fog. And you just followed ever so carefully those taillights in front of you. Could have been snow or ice. Could have been on board a boat or in a car. I remember ever so clearly, along with Helen, being at the Hiram House Conference in Cleveland. A number of years ago, the assembly there had an excellent conference for young people, and we had taken our two teenagers for the conference. Had a delightful time. I remember that noon hour, we were sitting in the dining room of Laurie and Peg Pyle, and it was a gorgeous day. The sun was brilliant, and it was just a perfect day, and I made the remark to Brother Laurie, this is going to be a great day for driving home. Well, you guessed it. If ever you've driven that stretch from Cleveland up to Buffalo in November, it can be bad. Well, we got north of Cleveland, and the snow started. And it didn't stop until we got close to Buffalo. And it came down, and it came down. You were afraid to keep driving, and you were afraid to stop. So you elected to keep driving. The defroster was on, and the windows were down, and we counted more than 80 cars and trucks off the road that evening. It was a terrible storm, and we were so glad when we finally hit Angola, and there wasn't a snowflake to be seen. But it was a storm to be remembered as far as we were concerned. Yesterday we began our brief study of Mark chapter 4, reading in at verse 35. Let's reread the passage we read yesterday. It's a precious and enjoyable portion. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? They feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Father, we commit to thee the reading of thy word, and we pray that in the next few minutes as we meditate upon it, we might know much of the nearness of the one who calmed the sea and stilled the tempest. We pray for thy glory and our blessing in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Yesterday we began a brief devotional type study on this very lovely and certainly familiar passage of the Word of God. We noted yesterday that the disciples took him even as he was in the ship. They had a care for their Savior, as you and I should have a care for one another. We noted, too, that there were with him other little ships. Two types of ships on the Galilee that day. One in which the Lord Jesus was an occupant, and others that had no Savior aboard. There are people traveling the Sea of Life in both categories. Some who know Christ, praise God, no doubt the majority here, and then others who do not know Him. And they travel the Sea of Life without a Savior. How tragic. But this morning, as we look at these two verses of 37 and 38, let us consider a sudden storm, a sleeping Savior, and supplicating saints. And from these brief headings, let us try to learn something of our Lord Jesus Christ and His love and compassion for you and for me. Notice first in verse 37, "And there was a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." There arose a great storm, a sudden storm. They tell us that the beautiful Galilee is some 6 miles in width and some 15 miles in length. It's found in a deep valley. The level of the Galilee is some 652 feet below the Mediterranean. And down through those steep hills that surround the Galilee, violent winds enter the basin from the southern cliff and create terrifying storms in a matter of minutes. And no doubt that's what happened on the day when the Lord Jesus Christ and the many allowed were crossing the once glassy lake. The storm was so intense that even fishermen experienced with the Galilee knew what it was to be terrified. It was a storm that caused deep, deep concern. It's interesting that there were other little ships in the storm. And yet the storm in which the believers were found experienced the same storm, the same ferocious winds, the same high waves as the unbeliever. And you know, I sometimes wonder if we don't feel, well, as believers, we should be exempt from the trials and problems and the storms of life. But each one of us have lived long enough to know that that is not the case. It always moves my heart when letters are read in our fellowship from men and women of God on the mission field, and they're going through severe tests and facing difficult problems. And I realize again that men and women who have sold themselves out for God are not exempt from disease, from ailment, from family problems, just like you and me. And so the storm was a ferocious one, and they experienced it, albeit the Lord was in the boat. But there was no difference from the violence of the storm for those with the Savior and those without. The difference, of course, was simply this, wasn't it? The Lord was in the boat with them. And many a time and many occasion, you and I have had opportunity to thank our God from the depths of our being that He is in the boat with us. There are times when we would not have weathered the storm had it not been for the presence of our beloved Lord. We've asked ourselves, how would we ever have made it, save but for His keeping presence and strength-giving nearness? You and I have proven that the way to heaven at times is not a smooth one. Oh, there are times, praise God, when we enjoy respites from the storm. But so often, the storms of life are used of our God to draw us closer and closer to Him. There are lessons to be learned in the storm. The psalmist said in 119 and verse 71, it was good for me. Get this. It was good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Let's recall for a moment the storms in your life and in mine. And what do? They do two things. Number one, they drive us to this book. And secondly, they drive us to our knees. And that no doubt was the experience of the psalmist. And as he looked now, no doubt back in retrospect, he could say, it was good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Dear brethren, dear sisters, how comforting are the words of this precious and holy book when in such situations we go to them. I can recall two outstanding storms in our lives. And as I do, I can relate to both of those a verse of Scripture, different verses of Scripture, and they meant so much to us. They were just the means of bringing us with the Lord's enabling and presence through the storm to know His love. And consequently, we come through the storm, we trust, with a deeper faith and a deeper appreciation for the work of our Lord Jesus Christ as He strengthens and keeps His beloved people. We learn lessons in the storm, even the sudden storms as they break about us. It was Nahum who said in chapter 1 and verse 3, I knew the Lord was in the storm. Isn't that great? To know that He's there and to be able to identify and to appreciate His presence in the storm, and to know that He's there with us. Now, that was the difference between the boat in which the Lord crossed the Galilee and the other little boats. They may have been following Him afar off, but they knew nothing of His presence in the storm. And so, Nahum joins to say, I knew the Lord was in the storm. Safer, beloved child of God, with the Lord in the storm than outside the storm, not enjoying His presence. But in His sovereign grace, He causes the storm to break on occasion, that in turn He might draw us close to Himself. And many a believer has been comforted with the knowledge that as he goes through the storm, and the little boat rises high, and it falls into the trough of the wave, and he realizes and wonders, how am I ever going to get out of this? He knows the Lord is in the boat and He will find the shore in safety at last. Many a believer who has gone through the storm has said in retrospect, I would rather have been with Him in the storm than any place else without Him. Thank God, dear fellow believer, for the company of the one we learned of yesterday, the one who was human in every aspect and could fall asleep in the stern of the little boat, and yet as God of very God, rise to still the storm and command its cessation. Yes, this is our beloved Lord. And He's with you this morning, and He's with me. It was Amy Carmichael who wrote, Thou art the Lord who slept upon a pillow. Thou art the Lord who soothed the furious sea. What matter beating wind and tossing billow, if only we are in the boat with Thee? Just to be with Him. Whether it's the storm or the sunshine, to appreciate, dear fellow believer, that we are with Him. But notice not only the sudden storm, but a sleeping Savior. In His human body, He needed sleep. And He was able to rest as He willed. Some of us, and I don't include myself in this at all, But some have the ability just to be able to lay down and turn it off, and they're out like a light. I wish I could do that, but I can't. But the Lord Jesus Christ, I would suggest, could as God and man rest at his will. Of course, physically healthy people with no serious mental concerns or problems facing them, resting in the confidence in the peace of God, can do that. Psalmist could say, I will both lay me down and sleep. And we envy him at times, don't we? And so there was rest and there was sleep. His humanity was evident here, wasn't it? And it was proven, as we noted yesterday. He had a body like yours and mine, apart from sin. A body that needed to know rest and strength that would come therefrom. The Hebrew writer could say in 4 and verse 15, we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tested as we. Yes, thank God, he knew what it was to be tested. And yet, in his own sovereign way, as his people were going through the test, he took them through as well in his goodness and his grace. The psalmist, he knew much of it, didn't he? He knew much of turmoil and strife, problems and perplexity. And yet he could say in the 103rd, he knoweth our frame. And I love this. He remembers that we are dust. Well, what would you expect of dust anyway? And that's you and me. But then in the sovereignty and in the grace of our great God, as we go through the test, why? He remembers. Arnett McIntyre, nothing but dust. I'll be near him. I'll strengthen him. I'll help him. I'll bring him through the situation. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, said Isaiah in the 40th chapter in that last 31st verse. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Thank God. Beloved child of God, for the strengthening, keeping grace of our beloved Lord. He who neither slumbers nor sleeps. The God of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. But there he was. He was asleep. He was asleep as a man. As God, he never slept. Understand it. Figure it out if you can. But there he was, asleep. And yet, as the all-seeing eye of a holy God, very, very much alive. And so, he in his sovereignty would come to their need and meet that need. And although momentarily he would sleep and rest, the moment would come when supplicating saints would plead with him for their release from terror. And so what did they do? The storm is breaking. It's washing over the sides of the little boat. It's filling up. And would you believe he is still asleep? Now, how anyone could sleep in that situation is beyond me. But he did. And he slept. And no doubt enjoyed it. But they were concerned. He was asleep and their need was desperate. They were terrified and he was unmoved and failed to appreciate the situation in which they were found. The rushing wind, the pounding, the soaking waves all seemed not to bother him. He did not wake. The storm was strong and the winds were high and he was unmoved by the elements that broken their fury. But when his children called, he responded. Dear child of God, it is still the same. When our beloved Lord hears the cry and the petition of his beloved people, he responds. Many of you here are mothers. Many are fathers. And it seems that so often as parents of young children, we were able to sleep well. But then, there was just a soft cry from the baby in the crib. And a mother deep in sleep was awake like that. It was the cry of the child. And dear child of God, I'm so thankful that my beloved Lord hears the cry, and still does, of His beloved people. And they came to Him and they said to Him, Master, don't You care that we perish? Are You unmoved? Are You unconcerned? This boat is soon to go to the bottom. Are You unmoved? Don't You care about our predicament? Dear child of God, what a question. Did He not care? Did He not come from heaven to die for them? He most certainly did care. And He cared for them, and He cares for you. And I thank God that with that care and that concern, you and I have been richly blessed. And I thank my God that still He hears the cry, the weak groan, the petition that escapes the lips, and maybe even isn't an audible sound, but it goes direct to the throne. The One who knew what it was to be tested meets the cry of His beloved people. Thank God He still hears the cry of His dear ones. The supplication of the weary saint was heard back then, and it is still heard today. Still heard today. Thank God. And when the storm in its suddenness breaks, He's there. I will never forget that afternoon. I was in a meeting with the president of our college and the three senior executives. The secretary, who had been told not to interrupt us, knocked on the door. And she said, Mr. McEntee, you must come to the phone. I picked up the receiver, said my hello, and a broken-hearted son was weeping at the other end. He said, Dad, Wendy's left me. Maybe you've been through the experience. Maybe you know the storm. I said, Al, where are you? He was sitting in a shopping plaza 10-15 miles away. I said, I'll be right there. I excused myself from the meeting, and as quickly as I could, I drove to my boy. He got in my little car, and he buried his head in his hands, and he wept, and the car shook. Beloved, the storm had broken suddenly, and it was furious. What do you do in a situation like that? You know. You've been there in one form or another. You cry to God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, to meet that need. And for 3.5 years, the storm raged. And we wondered if ever we would see the end of it. I mentioned Psalm 50, verse 15 yesterday. And many a night, with broken hearts and eyes moistened with tears, we pillowed ourselves on Psalm 50, 15. Call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And beloved, He has brought us through each of the three stages of that precious verse. Yes, the storm was intense. Master, don't you care that we are perishing? They called, and He responded. From the ends of the earth, said the psalmist in 61, from the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. To the rock of which we spoke last evening. How often we have gone as dependent children on an omnipotent Father and an omniscient Father to know that He will be present to bless, to keep, and to care. And He knows the tempest blast. Remember Calvary?
my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And dear child of God, there's not a brother or sister in this service this morning who has been forsaken. We have the authority of the book. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we praise our God for the tender, precious, keeping grace of our beloved Lord. Why are we confident? Well, we can borrow the words of Isaiah 32, verse 2, which read, a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. Thank God for the man. Thank God for the man who weathered the storm and is this morning the right hand of his Father in heaven, exalted, extolled, made very high, and yet with a heart that cares deeply and dearly for his beloved people. He knows the tempest blasts, and he has felt it, beloved, like no other. So often in my journeys among the people of God, broken-hearted saints have come, and they have related just the kind of a story that I've related. We've been able to identify with them. The broken-hearted young mother stood beside the little casket. Many had come to express their sorrow at the loss of her little one. A mother of her same age came up, and she embraced her as she stood weeping at the coffin. And she said, Mary, at home in my drawer, I have two pairs of little shoes. And today, those feet walk the streets of glory. Together they embraced and found strength in one another. Why? Because they had both experienced the same. And dear child of God, my Lord experienced the storm. And when you or your loved ones are going through the storm, let us encourage each other with this knowledge that the tempest blast might be severe. But he who neither slumbers nor sleeps will keep you as he kept his beloved people. The appropriate time, he will rise and he will speak peace. He will. The day will come. The moment will come. When once again peace will reign in the permissive, powerful will of our great God. These dear believers, these dear men of God, they were deeply concerned. They were deeply concerned about themselves. I wonder if they had any concern about the other little ships. Do you and I? There are many out there traveling the road of life, crossing the sea of life. And they're perishing, beloved. And you and I have the message here. This is a day of good tidings, said some. And we hold our peace. A world out there to be reached with God's gospel. Men and women who have never heard it. You know, there are many languages in which the name of the Lord Jesus Christ has never been heard. Family Bible Hour is hoping later this year, and not too much later, to go into languages in which there is absolutely no gospel broadcast. Men and women are perishing. Do we care? Did these disciples, they obviously had a concern for themselves, and justifiably so. But oh dear child of God, as we cry to God for help in our own situation, let us not forget those who travel the same sea, but they have no Christ in the boat. Bob has mentioned earlier this morning about the dear sister who is experiencing difficulty. Maybe she's wondering when the storm will ever end. And we thank God that possibly we can help just a little. Oh, to think of the goodness of our God. We cry to God for ourselves, but we don't want to forget the others. So, dear child of God, may you and I in the sudden storm know much of the nearness of the Savior who never sleeps.
is our eternal God. Thank God that as supplicating saints, we can experience His goodness, cry to Him for our answer. And in His sovereignty, He answers as it pleases Him. And there was a great calm. Let's think about that in a morning to come. Shall we ask the Lord to bless us? Father, we're so thankful this morning for our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who quells the storm. Father, it could be that some of the blood-bought precious people of God are experiencing the storm this morning. Or maybe they're looking out over their family and there are problems in the family. And they seem so helpless to solve the problems. Father, we would just pray this morning in your love. Please draw near, comfort and strengthen. And may they know the joy of traveling across the sea of life with the blessed Lord in the boat. We pray in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen.